So we like to always start just by asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your ministry as a spiritual director and anything else you'd like to share about yourself and your work.
Okay, thank you for having me. My life is pretty regular. I have a wonderful family, two sons and two daughters-in-law and three grandchildren that are the joy of my life. I started out my work as a social worker and then got a master's in pastoral theology. And one day I was just driving along thinking I'd like to be a spiritual director. And honestly, I thought, where the heck did that come from? I didn't know what that meant. And so then went on a search to figure that piece out. And I did go into formation all the while working. I work for the Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend. I spent 20 years working in victim assistance work and pastoral care. And that would include mediation and crisis intervention. So lots of focus just on being with people.
When that thought occurred to you, I would like to be a spiritual director. I mean, of course, I guess we can say, looking back, it's easy to see, oh, this is the Holy Spirit at work in my life somehow. Were you yourself receiving spiritual direction at the time? How foreign of a concept was that to you at the time?
Yeah, actually, no, I wasn't. And I really didn't even know what that meant. And I truly did think it had to come from the Holy Spirit because I can tell you exactly where I was. I was driving by the University of St. Francis and that thought came to me. I went home and shared it with my husband and he's like, you know, go for it. And I'm like, go for what? You know, what is it? So I had to do a lot of searching to figure out what that meant. I was in my master's program at the same time. So
okay.
I waited to finish that and then I pursued the spiritual direction.
And what did that entail in pursuing a spiritual direction, you know, to become a spiritual director?
Well, actually for me, my husband passed before I started the formation. So I kind of just set about looking for different kind of formation programs. There's many out there from different perspectives. Mine was particularly an Ignatian program. It was a three-year formation that included lots and lots of reading, but also lots of work on myself. You know, you go into spiritual direction yourself, and spiritual direction is really about looking at the whole. So I had a lot to consider, a lot to learn. Formation was life-altering.
You said spiritual direction is about looking at the whole. Tell me more about what you see spiritual direction is, what it's for, you know, all that.
So for me, spiritual direction is really a response to invitation that comes from the divine in some way. It comes in different places and certainly different moments in people's lives. But different from the work I do in pastoral care and pastoral counseling, where you're often looking at what somebody is struggling with or a relational issue, and you're looking for some kind of answers. Spiritual direction, since it comes from an invitation, then we go into the relationship with one another as a spiritual director and directee, seeking the invitation for my directee. You know, what's there, and looking at whatever is going on in someone's life and seeing that there is sacred. It is sacred. These moments in someone's lives, even the things that we struggle with, there's sacredness there.
And how does that compare to so you mentioned counseling, how does that compare to therapy or that kind of work?
Well, I think when I'm working with somebody in pastoral counseling, they usually come and they're looking for a lot of direction, not it's more like they're looking for answers. And they may look to me to give them some direction or to make some kind of suggestions or referrals. And spiritual direction is different because the focus is on the relationship with the directee and God. I'm there and I'm a conduit perhaps, or I'm a vessel to receive something, but In spiritual direction, there's great trust that God is working in the life of the directee. And it's a gentle process. I hope that people always feel my compassion and love for them in the moment, and that can witness to them in both my pastoral work and in spiritual direction that they encounter that in me. But in spiritual direction, it's really listening for God's guidance, not mine. Where in pastoral work, it may be my guidance.
It seems like there may be a lot of just lack of understanding of about spiritual direction in general. When we did our webinar on spiritual direction, Father Boniface Hicks mentioned an interesting point, which was that the idea of spiritual direction is relatively new in the church. Not that it's never existed, but at that that the widespread kind of manifestation of it is a pretty recent thing in the last, let's say, 60 years, he was saying. And I it sounded like, and I was when I asked him, I said, well, do you mean among the laity? And he said, no, even among clergy and religious. He said that seminarians typically receive it, but other than that, it wasn't really all that common. And I suppose Vatican II had something to do with this, with the universal call to holiness and all that kind of thrust of bringing the laity to the fore in new ways. But so we're still kind of early on in this, and I just wondered if there are common misconceptions or misperceptions that people seem to have about spiritual direction that you encounter.
Well, I think first of all, the understanding that it is actually an ancient practice and that we kind of lost sight of it, I think, just throughout history, an emphasis on religion and religious practice. And we kind of, especially, I'm Roman Catholic, but in the Catholic faith, kind of looking at our faith journey in a more prescriptive way. Not that we don't foster relationship with God, but we have the catechism and we have prayer. And so, while that is all wonderful and can serve us well, I think we moved away from the fact that God works in our lives, the divine works in our lives, in very often very gentle and unique ways that we need to pay attention to. And understanding that we can pay attention and really look at the relationship with the divine in a way that is much more on a micro level, right? That and trusting the experience of the person who's in spiritual direction. When somebody comes to me in spiritual direction, I try very hard to suspend what I think I know because it's not about what I know. It's what they know of God and what God knows of them. And again, I'm just in prayer while someone is journeying in that with the divine, and it's a privilege, but it's not my work.
In doing, you mentioned the term gentle a few times, and that is definitely something, so full disclosure, you are my spiritual director. That's how we know each other. I've been doing some interior work myself. And a question that I was trying to answer for myself is, when is a time, can you name a time where you don't feel like you have to, be aggressive or try overly hard to get someone to do what you're looking for them to do, that you can just be yourself very calmly and at peace and that kind of thing. And my first thought was in spiritual direction with you, that you are really able to create a gentle, peaceful space for us to work in, even though we meet over Zoom, just like we are right now. And I wondered, is that a Mary thing? Is that a spiritual director? I mean, you're the only one I've ever had so far. Is that technique? Is that a result of, where you are in your relationship with the Lord, that you're able to bring someone into that space yourself? I wonder if you could speak to that.
Sure. I hope it's all of the above. It's really a stance. I wouldn't say it's a technique, but it's rooted in a belief that if we give my directee and God the time and the space, that things will be revealed that don't have to be forced, and that especially in our culture. You know, we work for things, right? We work hard, and we admire people who work hard, and we like it at the end of the day when we can say we got all this done. Spiritual direction is about is really about looking at what's being done in us. And you know, I'm more of an introvert without a doubt. But I find that one of the greatest struggles is people come and they're so harsh with themselves. You know, the sins that people feel that they carry or mistakes that they've made. And those things become blocks to loving themselves and then being able to accept and experience God's love. Too often I find people, Dave, that it's not that they don't feel love, they don't see themselves as lovable. And so that we have to work through that with God's care and his gentleness.
Knowing whose we are, right? Not just who we are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Do you feel that everyone, no matter where they are in their spiritual journey, is a good candidate for spiritual direction? Or is there a certain point at which it starts to make more sense for someone?
Well, I actually don't think about it that much. If somebody comes to me and they have certain questions, I listen to those questions and decide, you know, are they asking me for pastoral counseling or guidance? Are they asking me for mentoring? Or are they asking for spiritual direction? So I have to make a discernment.
I see.
Yeah.
And how do you, this is the first time you've mentioned mentoring. How does that differ?
Well, I'll have people come to me and ask very directly, like how to do something,
Okay.
right? Or how to learn something. That's to me is more mentoring. And all of these things have touch points, right? The pastoral, I can't say some, I wouldn't say I'm a purist in any of it, you know.
Sure.
Because things can happen in someone's life. They come to me for spiritual direction, and then something happens in their life where they might need more guidance or they're asking that of me.
Right.
But I'm always led by them.
Right.
And I always try very hard to be faithful to what it is, like who brought, like what brought us into this relationship. If it was spiritual direction, then I want to stay there. If it's counseling, then I'll stay there. But I can't say that I don't do a little of both.
Right.
You know, along the way.
Yeah, there's definitely been sessions. I can think of maybe one or two where whatever I was bringing up, you're like, okay, this is not going to be a spiritual direction session for us. This is like, I can give you advice. Maybe this is, I'm your friend today. I'm not your spiritual director. I just need to be your friend right now, and I'm going to talk to you about this. And we did that, and that was great. So, I imagine it's not always that overt when you make that decision, but it was definitely helpful for me.
Right. It usually isn't that overt. And there are times when someone will kind of move in a direction. And then I think as a spiritual director, part of my call is to bring them back because, you know, we often want to go to our head and spiritual direction, certainly that's included, right? But we're looking at where God is working, where God is calling, where the invitation is. And so I kind of pull somebody back. Or the Holy Spirit actually does the work through me.
Right. Do you find that your spirituality has changed or has grown through your work as a spiritual director for others?
Hands down, the answer to that is yes. I'm so deeply humbled by the just unspeakable ways, in immeasurable ways that God manifests God's self in the people who come and they share their most sacred stories with me. And I am changed. I'm, you know, their witness to me to be willing to go to these places that are so hard sometimes. spiritual direction can take on a true confessional kind of place for some people, and their courage is just amazing to me. And the trust that anything that's shared in this time is going to be held with, not just with seeing it in a confidential way, but in a covenantal way. That this is beyond just, I'm going to keep your trust. I'm going to keep you in love.
Something that's amazing that amazing to me, as a marketer and as someone who kind of works professionally in the church and is always interested. I mean, we're always interested in people's spiritual growth, and so much of that is so hidden as an interior thing that happens in our within ourselves. And yes, we will know them by their fruits, but fruits are take a long time to grow sometimes and take even longer to get eaten and so forth. And so I'm just amazed at what it must be like to actually, I just feel like a spiritual director more than any other person, even more than spouses, I would bet, has access to the interior growth that is actually happening in their directees' lives. Maybe only known better by those directees themselves and by God, of course. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's the part of it that is so humbling, that there's such a trust in the best of all worlds that someone can come in and go to that place for themselves. That's what this is about, right? It's God and them, it's not me. And that somehow, some way, there's a space created where someone can go to places, usually where they feel shame, or they feel that they're blocked or stuck, and in spiritual direction, to be able not just to reframe, but to invite someone to consider where God might be in that and how God might be seeing that in them. Inviting them to look at, what's going on in them with different eyes, and always with compassion.
You come across, and I know, and I this is I don't think this is a facade. You just are a very humble person. You present very humbly. Even the length of your answers tells me this is someone who is humbling themselves. And I just wonder, is that just table stakes for a spiritual director? Is that just that, before you can even think about. And not that I am, by the way, I'm not, but I know that some of our listeners may be thinking about, what their path in spiritual direction might be. And if they're called to become one day, it seems like humility is just so important in this space. If you are truly to make it about your directee and God and not about yourself.
Well, the ego is a sneaky thing, right? The gift for, I think, a spiritual director is that we, like I, before someone comes to me, I pray, get me out of the way. It really, who cares what I think, right? It doesn't matter. And that practice with my spiritual directees, like has flown, like it flows over to other parts of my life, like places where I might worry about how something comes across, and I'm like, now in my head, I'm like, Mary, nobody cares. Just be with that person. That's all that's being asked of me. And is that humility? I don't know, Dave. I know that I don't know. I trust that when someone comes to me, that they know more about themselves than I do. God knows way more. And if I listen hard enough and well enough and with enough love, they'll see something in themselves that they can love, even if it's something. And so it's just not about me. And I find that to be a relief, actually. Like, I'm good with that. Yeah.
You, without violating any of the trust that you have had with any of your directees, are you able to share any stories, anonymously about the growth that you've seen in them?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing, and I have to say again in humility that I saw it in myself, we spend so much time anthropomorphizing God, right? Making God into us instead of, making God into, I'll speak for myself. I spent too much time making God into my image, right? And what a relief when I learned that's just not such a wise thing to do. And that I can work to make my me an image, a reflection of his, of God's image. And that's probably the most beautiful growth that I see when someone is struggling with a really hard issue or something they find in themselves, whether it's addictions or they've made a mistake in their life that's had terrible consequences, and they can see themselves not taking responsibility, because that's always important in our personal growth, but to have some compassion for themselves and to see what brought them to that moment, and even in that moment, that they are loved and that it's not possible for God not to love them. That's just not possible. I mean, I just story after story of that, of people realizing that they do have the ability to forgive, that they can heal. It's really such a blessing to walk with people in that.
Is that what the turn looks like from seeing God in your image to seeing yourself in God's image?
Well, my experience is just that, that if you can look at yourself and others with a compassion that you didn't think you possessed, then that's an overt sign from God, that, of God's presence. I'm sure there are people that wouldn't agree with that, but I think how many people I have say to me that they can't forgive something. I mean, they've been grievously harmed, and then they're saying they can't forgive, and we'll journey together for months and months, in some cases years, and they'll come in and they'll say they felt moved to pray for the person who harmed them. Okay. And that is a movement of the heart, a compassion for that person. Doesn't mean they've forgotten the harm, or they're denying it. And it really has nothing to do with the other person, right? But their own heart has been unburdened just a wee bit to be able to experience love more deeply from all kinds of places.
For those who have never had spiritual direction, they may be wondering kind of what it's like. So, would you be able to share what a session is typically like? I mean, you and I meet once a month for an hour, and I've heard that that's pretty typical, although other people need, different amounts of, frequency or length or whatever. I guess maybe a little bit like therapy. That's for the two, the spirit, the directee and the director to work out between them. But once you're meeting, like what is it like? And could you share about that?
Well, to begin with, for me, there is the basic belief that God does the work with this person, not me. And so I generally do see people once a month or once every 6 weeks for about an hour. I begin the session just as taking a moment, a few moments for us to kind of gather ourselves. And I generally invite the Holy Spirit to be very present, always present, but to work in our conversation. I pray before the directee comes to my office, even on Zoom. I pray before that I can be free of distraction and be totally, as best I can be, present to the Holy Spirit working in my directee. And then I invite them to begin where they want to begin. Where in counseling, someone may leave with some homework. It's not uncommon. I'm going to give them some homework to do. I do not do that. We oftentimes will talk about how to pray, and I might offer a book or make some suggestions. But it's the directees work with the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm simply a tool. I'm grateful to be there. I believe that the questions, I hope that the questions that come to me come from the Holy Spirit. There are times when I'm praying, you know, Holy Spirit, I got nothing. You need to step up here. You know. But you know, hopefully people leave number one, knowing they're loved, not just by me, but by God. And that they have hope that they can continue to journey in their relationship with God.
And whether there's, formal quote homework assigned or not, what is the directee expected to do in the meantime? Besides, of course, live their life.
Well, in the best of all worlds, again, you know, they may have discovered something through a session, or we are in conversation and they a little light bulb has gone off, and they might say, I want to really pursue that. And I might make some suggestions then. If someone's struggling with centering prayer, for instance, you know, we will talk about how to do that or some ways that can be helpful with that. I think the most gratifying for me as a spiritual director, and I think probably for the directee, is when something comes to them and they say, oh gosh, I really need to work more on this, or I want to, or I didn't know I thought that. I didn't know that was something that was in me. And then, you know, I will encourage them to pray about that and take that to prayer. I always want people to take this relationship seriously, but I also want them to hold what we talk about loosely so there's still space for God and the Holy Spirit to work in it, you know, not to think about it too much, but to be present to it.
Do you talk to other spiritual directors, and do you have any idea, how your approaches differ from theirs in any way?
Yes, so I have a group of spiritual directors that we meet regularly and practice on one another to make sure that, you know, our skills are where they need to be. We talk about our code of ethics, and if on occasion that's challenged, or if a relationship is challenging. So yes, I do. I'm also in spiritual direction. I think that's important that I am faithful to that for myself and for my directees. But we do. We're all different. There are basic principles in spiritual direction, which is why you go into formation, right? There has to be respect and responsibility and trust and a core belief that the sacred is present. And you know, we're not it in the triad. We're not we're not it,
Right.
right? So those are things that in some relationships, on occasion I'll have a spiritual directee come, and I realize that their mental health issues are more compelling at the moment. They might be struggling with something that spiritual direction is probably not the thing for them right now. So it's important that I have people to bounce that off of, and stay true to the people who come to me.
I found out about you through a personal connection who happens also to be your directee. And before that, it was a long journey for me to find a spiritual director that took me, I don't know, something like 2 years from when I think the Holy Spirit first put it on my heart that I should have one. I think a lot of people, well, we learned in our study that a lot of people are not certain whether spiritual direction is available in their community. So how does someone get connected with a spiritual director?
Yeah. That's a really tough question, to be honest. Many people in the Catholic faith, and I would assume this is true in Protestant faiths and other faiths, people who are clergy-like are often assumed to be spiritual directors. That's not always the case. Somebody who is a clergy person doesn't necessarily do spiritual direction. You know what, to be honest, Spiritual Directors International has a directory of spiritual directors that people can go to. Here in Northern Indiana, I'm part of a group that they're just now forming a directee or a directory. I think that'll be helpful to people in our part of the world.
Is that ecumenical or
Yes,
interfaith?
very, no, it's very ecumenical, right? So there's no formalized anything that I'm aware of that is across the board, like this is how we do it in different places in the church that I'm aware of.
And that is definitely part of the challenge. There isn't one place that you can go that you know you'll be able to find someone that. And then even when you do, I mean, just like we said with therapists, there's a certain amount of attunement and kind of making sure that this is a good fit, right? For, I've met some people that seem to think that, you know, people should only have spiritual, let's say in the Catholic tradition, people's spiritual director should always be clergy or something like that, or religious. And I have found amazing graces through my spiritual direction with you, who of course is a layperson. What do you think of
Well, I would think that's kind of foolish, actually,
that?
because God can manifest God's self in spiritual direction through many different kinds of people. And I do think people need to be formed. I know there are people in the world who will say they're spiritual directors, and when I ask them to tell me a little bit about themselves and their formation, they'll say, well, they were in spiritual direction, and their spiritual director said they could do this, or they were very good at it, or they were very intuitive, and they just kind of took it on. So I always want to encourage, and they may be great. They could be, again, a good mentor, a good spiritual companion. Lots of changing in the language recently to companionship. But spiritual directors, I think we want to make sure that we're formed and know what we're doing. We have people who are coming to us sharing the most precious part of their lives, and there is a professional part of it that I think that we need to attend to and take seriously.
Yeah, that's fair. Are there things that you wish more people could know about spiritual direction that you feel like addressing?
I, in general, Dave, wish that people knew how deeply they were loved, are loved, and in fact, they're loved so much they do not have to be afraid of God or God's judgment, and that they could enter into a relationship with a spiritual director who could help them experience that, walk with them till they find it. I wish that people could be kinder to themselves and see their goodness. And you know me, I don't let people off the hook. If you're going down a bad path, I'll call it out, right? But the judgments are so harsh in the church, not just in the Catholic Church, I think in religion in general. And that spiritual direction, it's not an easy process. I mean, I know sometimes people leave my office and they're exhausted because they've really looked at hard things, important things, but they're hard. I wish that people knew that there's wonderful opportunities for them to grow in their faith, whatever that is. It doesn't have to look like the spiritual directors or what the church says. It's like their relationship with God, and that there's grace there, and it's beautiful, whatever it is.
In our study, we saw a correlation between people who are receiving spiritual direction and people who are attending mass more frequently and people who are praying more often and for longer when they pray. So there was a positive correlation between all of those things. Are there other practices or aspects of the life of a disciple that you feel like go hand in hand with spiritual direction, or just things that you think help when thinking about, this whole podcast, the whole point of it, we're talking about how to live an integrated life. I'm trying to get away from saying the phrase spiritual life because we don't have a spiritual life, right? That's the whole issue, is that people kind of check in on Sunday and then check back out again as if that's my spiritual life, and then over here I'm gonna live the rest of my life. So what do you think are those practices or areas of discipleship that you see real fruit in?
The connective tissue, I think, is, and the gift of spiritual direction is the awareness, even if we don't feel it, there's an awareness that there's mystery here and that there's something operating, acting on my behalf, on your behalf, even if we can't see it or feel it. It's trusting that. And I think I can speak for myself. Spiritual direction is not just a reminder, it's a call to make sure that I stay rooted in that. When things seem overwhelming or life is hard, we have hard things that we're confronting, and there's deep grief right now, and the polarization. And it brings me to a place where I'm rooted in the most important thing, and that's God's action in my life. God is in my life. God is in me and those I encounter. So it I think helps people to be somewhat relieved of the responsibility or the burden of feeling that we have to judge everything, that we can just receive it. And then we get to decide what we do with it, right? But we don't have to change people. We don't have to work on it. We don't have to work on not being codependent or like all those things that are so burdensome. It's just like, no, there's mystery here, and I'm trusting in the mystery.
It sounds like you're talking about presence, right? Being present to what's happening in the moment in the world, in your life, whatever it might be. What gets you present? What's the difference between when you're present and when you're not, and how can we foster that in our lives?
Well, when I let my ego take over and think that what I know or what I think or what I have to say is the end all and be all, then that's a problem. And it causes me and probably others great angst. I think the truth that God may be asking something of me sometimes. I mean, an important part of growing in your spiritual relationship is when to speak for justice. Like when you talk about discipleship, right? Sometimes we have to stand up. And again, as an introvert, that's been a real challenge for me sometimes. Like I can do the groundwork. You can put me anywhere and I can do the work part. But sometimes we're called to speak up. And spiritual direction helps us to see that even if we're not comfortable with it, we do have the gift, right? And we're called to use it. And so I don't know if that exactly answers your question, but I think this relationship with God, it's not an easy one. I wrestle with God, and the people that I see and walk with, they wrestle in their relationship with God. And many of us walk around like Jacob with a limp.
When Jesus says his yoke is easy and the burden light, but we think of our relationship with God as a struggle. What's happening there? Where's that tension?
Well, when a relationship with God is a struggle, I say thank you because that says to me that it's a value. And just like any other relationship in my life, if it's a value, it takes time and it takes love and it takes struggle and challenge, and sometimes it's not comforting.
I'm going to use this line with my wife, by the way. Honey, we're arguing because I value you.
The next step of that though, is like kind of when I get through that part is to be sure that my heart is open, you know? Because the temptation is to close it off, right? And that's one of the gifts of spiritual direction and one of the challenges of discipleship, not to get burdened or despairing or resentful when things that are wrong, that we know are wrong or harming people, that we like stay in that space, that we're called again into that mystery, that and that will provide us what we need. And you know, to have an open a heart that's open to receiving. And actually, Dave, that's probably for me, it's much more about what's given to me than what I have to give.
There have been times during our sessions that you've reassured me that the things I struggle with are often the things that almost everybody struggles with. Maybe not as the specific things, but those types of things. And that so many people have been dealing with the same exact things for forever, for so much of their lives. Is that just a manifestation of us being dominated by or letting our ego dominate our lives, that we can't get out of our own way, so to speak, and let God in? Or is there something else happening?
Well, I mean, I think it's our humanness, actually. You know, the truth is, if you look at scripture, their stories are our stories. Why, you know, we read this and it's, you know, thousands of years old and yet it still speaks to us, right? And so we share all of those things that we struggle with, but we also share in the goodness and we forget that part. We stay in the shame. Yeah, it is our ego. And I hate it when I'll say something or I do something and I'm like, shucks, I was going to say a bad word.
I need an on the air sign
My 5-year-old would go, oh, biscuits. My
here.
5-year-old granddaughter, oh, biscuits. You know, my ego just popped up, right? Just took over, right? But here's the gift of spiritual direction, I think, and that awareness is that we're aware of it. Like, it's not operating without me. Like, it can operate in a moment and I'm not paying attention. But when I'm aware, I can pull it back and take a deep breath. And as in any relationship that's worth its salt, and certainly in our relationship with God, we can take a deep breath and start again. But you know, the things that I struggle with that anyone who brings to me, the only reason, like, I've never encountered anyone that has shared a struggle with me that, given the right circumstances, even when they've made serious, awful mistakes, given the right circumstances, I know I'm not capable. I'm certainly capable of doing the same thing. And so that just really relieves me of, like, I don't need to judge it because I could be there. Thank you, God, I'm not. Right? So it's not letting ourselves off the hook, but realizing we're going to make mistakes and we can take a deep breath and begin again.
That is some true empathy.
Which many people have for other people, but they often don't have for themselves. And so I spend a lot of time in spiritual direction, or my directees, you know, kind of working through that part. And
How does
here's
one? Yeah, please.
Well, the greatest way to do that is when you can do it for yourself, you can express it to others. And sometimes we practice on others and then we see, oh, yeah, I could do this for myself.
What does self-compassion look like? I mean, how do we negotiate, not wanting to sin, let's say, but also recognizing we're fallible, we make mistakes, we're not horrible people all of a sudden just because we've given into whatever temptation. How do you negotiate that?
Well, I just from a very I do say this with humility, I think number one, realizing that we're going to make mistakes, and trying to be aware of what's going on in our own hearts and in our own minds. And making sure that we're not projecting that onto other people, whatever that is, right? And taking responsibility for ourselves. Spiritual direction is really, I mean, taking responsibility for yourself is, and your relationship with God is a big part of it. I mean, it's like almost all of it, actually. Now that I say that out loud, I mean, where is God in me, and what does my relationship God mean to me? And how does it impact who I am and how I am with other people? And that's where I think we find compassion, actually, and empathy.
Super important work.
Yeah. The other important thing I think, Dave, is witness. Look for people that you think do it, right? Or you notice in them. When my husband died, I used to go to church. I worked in a church at that time, so I knew a lot about lots of people. And I'd watch people going up to communion to receive the Eucharist. And I knew things about them because they had come to me in counseling. And I'd look at them and I'd think, well, they got through that. So that would mean maybe I can get through this. Right? Or when I knew they were really heartbroken about something and I saw them being kind to someone else, I thought, well, if they can do that, I can do it. And I think God, I mean, those people are everywhere. Those witnesses are everywhere. And when people come into my office, they witness that to me. So
It's
that to
so,
me, I'm sorry, that's just like the connective tissue for me.
It's so easy for us to go through our lives having totally different responses to the exact same things, right? You can go to church and be watching people going up to receive communion and be thinking, what a stupid outfit, or, whatever judgmental thought might be going through your mind at that time. And you've expressed something that is so beautiful, where not only can you appreciate them in their weakness, maybe in their struggle, but then appreciate yourself at the same time through that, which I think is what we really are talking about when we talk about the unity that God is drawing us into in the kingdom of heaven. How does one bring about a shift like that in their way they the way they see the world, starting to see more as God sees, I think. How have you achieved that? How can others do the same?
Oh gosh, Dave. All I can say is there's just so much goodness, and I don't want to sound like this is easy because it's not, but it really does become a choice, right? And with my directees or with people that come to my office or my friends or family, I mean, in the end, we do choose, and we choose to what we look at, who we look to. And so I guess I just always want to encourage people to look for witnesses that speak to what they need and who they want to be, because they're everywhere. And after a while, and we practice, we practice. When we don't feel it, we practice. I don't know. I think at my age, it's just realizing that even in all the struggle, there is great goodness, and we get to say we want that. Like, I want to make that the most important.
Religion to Reality is an initiative of DeSales Media created by me, Dave Pliske, and is produced and edited by Connor Donnelly. If you found value in our conversation, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you love the show, ratings and reviews go a long way toward letting others know about the show. Go to religiontoreality.org for more details and resources.